Well, hello, friends. Welcome to church. And to all of our friends and family online, it's so good to join with you in worship today. We're going to start with a reading from Psalm 24, verse 7. It says this: "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Can we just proclaim that today? May the King of glory come in. And man, do we need the King of glory to come in at this time, at this place, where the world feels like it's reeling, it's shaking, it's broken, it's hurting. We need the King of glory to come in. And this is a particularly powerful passage for us today because it's Pentecost Sunday, the moment when the Holy Spirit descended on the church, empowered the church. And so let's make that our prayer today. Come, Holy Spirit, stir it up in us, empower us for worship, empower us to love the world. We open up the doors, we open up the gates. Let the King of glory come in. Come on, let's worship today.
Come on. Oh, church, it's good to sing together. He turned our mourning into dancing. Come on, every voice.
I was so far away.
Yeah.
I was so far from home, an ocean between us, a distance too great. Lost on a distant shore, no glimmer of any hope on the horizon.
Here you came,
light of the world.
Into a brighter day.
Let there be rejoicing. Let there be rejoicing.
Oh. Well, let's keep the praise going on this morning. Let's put those hands together. Yeah. With one voice now.
The risen one.
Yeah. In faith now we believe. Did you feel?
Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar?
When the lost
began to sing out, Jesus Christ, the saving one. We can see that God's moving, a mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus.
We say now,
I'm free and wise, in your heavenly gate, prepare the way of the risen Lord.
We prepare the way. Seen us in faith today, from our hearts straight to heaven. Come on.
Did you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints joined in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our broken days?
One heart, one mind, we believe.
And can we see that God you move? Time of jubilee is coming, when young and old return to Jesus.
Loud now, come on!
Swing wide, you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord.
to our King.
Today we remember the day so many years ago when the followers of Jesus gathered feeling uncertain, maybe a little bit afraid, needing to hear from God of what to do next, desperate to hear from God, anxious. And the Spirit of the living God fell in that place, and the Church of Jesus Christ came to life. And we remember that today. And it's appropriate that we also, in finding ourselves right now, probably feeling a little anxious and uncertain with all that is happening in the world, needing desperately to hear from a living God, needing desperately to feel his presence, needing desperately to know what to do next, desperate for his guidance. It's appropriate that we also cry out today and say, God, come again. Holy Spirit, fall again here on us today, right now. And so I just ask that in this moment, we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, we lift our voices and say, God, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Holy Spirit, fall in this house. Holy Spirit, remind us of who you are, and what you have spoken over our lives, and what you have called us to be through your Son, Jesus. Remind us today. We are desperate for it. Can we just sing this prayer today? Oh, Spirit, fall.
Spirit fall.
Spirit.
worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of them?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? Yeah. And does the Father truly love us?
He does.
And does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, oh, forever those He loves?
He does.
Come on now. And does our God intend to dwell again with us?
Sing it together.
He is.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
That song is such a powerful song. Comes right out of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it, totally shut up. And I wept, he says, and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. Don't you see? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. He has triumphed." And then he says, and this is the key turn, he says, "I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." We don't talk a lot about scrolls in our modern world here, but in the ancient world, this scroll, well, it had the meaning of life. It's human history. Everything that was and is and ever shall be is shut up inside this thing. And he weeps because nobody is found who's able to open the scroll. And then all of a sudden, what they announce is that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. He's able to break it open. But what John actually sees is the lamb looking as if it had been slain. See, the one who has conquered is the one who's penetrated our veil of death. You know, all of the sin and destruction and plague, war and pestilence and famines, when cities are in an uproar and riots are everywhere, the God that we worship is the God who entered into all of that, brothers and sisters. He's the lamb who was slain. He took it in his body. And he's the one who's able to open the scroll and tell us where this whole thing is headed. And let me tell you where it's headed. It's headed to a day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign. Amen? So here we are as a church. We're gathered this Pentecost Sunday and we're celebrating and remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit. See, what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit actualizes the Lordship of Christ in the church, and then he moves out into the world with that. And so this morning, if you're watching online, if you're with us in the building here, just open your hands and open your heart and let's begin to call out to the Holy Spirit afresh. So we say, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Holy Spirit, come upon us. You who bring the Lordship of Jesus to us. You who make the triumph of the Root of David true in us. We say, come. Come in your church. Come in your church. Wake us up out of our graves, we pray. And then we ask that you would spill out from beyond the church into the cities of our nation, into New York City and Minneapolis and Los Angeles and Indianapolis and Atlanta. Oh, wherever there's pain, wherever there's anger, wherever there's violence, we say, come, Holy Spirit. We say, Root of David, triumph. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come on, church. Just begin to say it. Lift up your voice and say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, we need you. We need you. We need you. Oh, we need you. Hallelujah. Hallowed be your name. And so we're looking for it, Lord Jesus. We're saying, let your kingdom come in us, in this city, in our country, in our world. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is done in heaven. If you can agree with that this morning, let's give God one more shout of praise. Lift up your voices. Amen and amen and amen. Come on. As we prepare, it is good to see your faces this morning, by the way. We're not trying to slight those of you that are watching online, but it's good to have bodies in the building this morning. As we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, we remember that the principal work of the Holy Spirit is to knit us into the very life of Christ. And as Christ is a blessing for the world and to the world, as Christ is healing for the world, what the Spirit does is the Spirit knits us into that so that we become blessing. We become life. We become healing for the world. And so when we give, we're not checking a box. We're not fulfilling a religious obligation. When we give, we're saying yes to the Holy Spirit. We're saying yes to what Jesus is doing. And so here we are, Lord Jesus. All that we are and all that we have belongs to you. Take our offerings this morning. Take our gifts. Bless them. Break them. And use them to feed the multitudes, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Four ways to give this morning. You can text to give. You can give online. If you're in the building here, we're not passing buckets this morning. So you can drop your offering in the box at the back on the way out. If you're watching from home, you could also mail in your offering if you'd like to. Let's continue to worship as we give.
Come on, once again. He is. Rise up. Say he is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy.
He is worthy.
Oh, the song of all eternity. He is worthy. We join the heavens. We join the future. We bring it to the now. Bring it into our reality. We sing he is worthy. Amen. It's so good to see you all. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Worship, it's not a genre of music. It's not a selection of songs. It is a gift to the people of God to connect with the divine. And we did that today, and it's so refreshing. Blessings, blessings, blessings. People, prepare your hearts for the word of God. Pastor Brady Boyd will be here in the flesh preaching the scriptures. So grab your Bibles, grab those notebooks. Grace and peace, my friends, you may be seated.
To see you. I'm telling you, I've waited 12 weeks to be back in the room with the people that I love. I'm so grateful you're here today. Thank you for being here. It's emotional, quite honestly, to see you again. And I just love you so much. It's so good to have you back. And I know it's been a long 12 weeks to be apart. I have not heard an amen in a sermon in 12 weeks. So I need you to kind of overdo it today, okay? I need you to help your pastor out. Don't go quiet on me today, all right? If you're watching online, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. And I want to say a shout out to the sea of people behind the cameras and back there in the back of the room. They have worked extremely hard to bring these services online. Good job, guys. We have a great team here that has been steady and faithful and steadfast. If you're watching on Facebook Live, send up some red hearts right now. If you're doing that for our team that's put together these online services. Some of you are watching out in the parking lot today. It's our first Sunday to broadcast on 104.7 FM. So if you're out in the parking lot, honk some horns, okay? Disturb us inside here in the room today. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us. NewLifeChurch.org, all those places. Thank you for being a part. New Life Church, the door at the church never stopped. We were scattered, but we were never stopped. And I want to brag on you for how you went out and were scattered during this time, but we didn't stop doing the ministry. We gave away 12,000 pounds of food. I just got a text message from a young single mom who said, can I come by the church right now? This is 15 minutes ago. Can I come by the church? I need food right now. She's out in the lobby getting food right now because of your generosity, because of your faithfulness. We made thousands of masks and gave them to first responders, to nursing homes. Can we just stop for a moment and say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our essential first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our ER, for doing such good work in El Paso County. We have fantastic EMTs and police and firefighters that did amazing work during this time. Thank you to all of the homeschool families, which is 100% of you now. You killed it. You crushed it, right? Come on. Even if you didn't, even if you were the worst homeschool parent of all time, you got through. The school year is done. Come on, we have the summer to recuperate. I know this has been a bit of a sad time for those of you that graduated high school this year and you did not get the big graduation send-off. So if you're a high school graduate, stand up right now and we want to honor you for graduating high school or college. Yes, yes. I see you back there. Anyone over here? Yep, hey, congratulations. Well done. If you want, I can give you a brief 5-minute commencement speech if you'd like, free of charge. Okay, I didn't hear a single amen for that. All right, turn in your Bible. We're in James chapter 2. If you've been watching online, we've been walking through the book of James. And I want to share a message today. In fact, I did not have to change the message at all to address the issues that are going on in the world today. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit orchestrates these sermons to meet us at a place in time. James chapter 2 talks about favoritism and partiality. James chapter 2 talks about prejudice. James chapter 2 talks about treating one group of people differently than another group of people because of their economy, because of their social status. So James chapter 2 speaks to us today, and I want to say for those of you, my friends, we have friends in Minneapolis that watch every week online, New York, Los Angeles, all across America. I went to bed last night, and the last images that I saw in my mind last night were people being put down on the streets, fires burning, police being called into the streets of our city. Our country's a mess right now. Our country is broken. Our country needs healing. And I think it's important to remember that the Lord's called us back into public gatherings on Pentecost Sunday. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit. The church would not exist except for the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that exists in us today. And I'm grateful that in a small way, even though these are small gatherings compared to what they normally look like, but the church needs to gather and pray. We need to be carriers of grace and good news right now. We need to make sure that we're clear about our assignment as a church. We need to be clear about our mission as a church. We need to be clear that we have a clarion call from God to be carriers of grace into a very broken world. And I believe that the world needs the church right now. They need the church to gather, to be strong, to pray. And I am praying today that this message stirs up a recalling of our mission. In James chapter 2, we're going to read the first 5 verses together. If you want to read with me, James 2. This is in the early days of the church. The book of James is probably the oldest of all of the New Testament books. James was the half-brother of Jesus. So this book was written early on in the formative years of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. He says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ and my older brother. This is what James would have been thinking. He said, you must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. And it says, if you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and you say, hey, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand over there, get out of my way, sit on the floor by my feet. Look at verse 4. This is a very sobering passage. Have you not discriminated among yourselves? And listen to this, how James describes discrimination. He's really talking about discrimination of any kind, where discrimination literally means that you categorize people by their worth. Discrimination says you assign value and worth on a particular group of people that's different than another group of people. That's the classic definition of discrimination. You assign different values on people. He says, if you ever discriminate and assign different values on people, you become judges with evil thoughts. And he says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to this next phrase. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world? He's talking about economy here. He's talking about money here. He's talking about social prestige here, very practical things. He says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom of God he promised, the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Now, James is echoing exactly what his famous older brother said. Jesus himself in Luke chapter 14 said almost the exact same thing, and he uses the analogy. James is using the story of the church, but Jesus uses the story of a dinner party, a banquet, a party at your house. And so Jesus is invited to one of those parties, and Jesus is appalled at what he sees as he walks. This is a real party that Jesus is invited into. He walked into the house and he goes, oh, whoa, this is out of order. This is out of balance. This is not how it should be. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke 14, verse 12. He says, then Jesus said to his host, he's at an actual dinner party. He's been invited over to someone's house. He says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. In other words, people that look like you, people that just act like you, they have the same voting preferences as you, they believe everything you believe. He says, if you live in that bubble, if you live in that kind of echo chamber, if you don't allow yourself to venture out past your prescribed boundaries, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, if you do, they may invite you back to their party, and nobody wants to go to the other party. He said, you're going to have to return the favor, in other words, and be repaid. So then Jesus, he said, but when you give a banquet, when you throw a party, listen to who Jesus says to invite. Now listen, if you're not troubled by this next passage, if you're not convicted by this next passage, you're probably not paying attention, because I cannot read this without being convicted about my life and about the way I choose to live my life. Every time I've ever read this, I feel I've become missing the mark a bit. But when you give a banquet, when you have the party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. The blessings of God comes with our invitation list. In other words, who you choose to invite into your place, into your space, determines the blessing that God's going to give back to you. And although they cannot repay you, they have nothing to offer you. These are people that have been separated, marginalized, pushed to the boundaries. The economy has left them. Politics doesn't care about them. Culture has disregarded them. People see them as castaway people, messy people, broken people. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid, listen to this, at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, Jesus now is using judgment talk here. Jesus is reminding us that one day all of us are going to stand before him, and we're going to recount and recall the choices we'd make, the people we invited to our parties. And he says, if you've invited the outsiders, if you've invited the poor, the lame, the crippled, the messy, the ones that look different, the ones who have different skin color than you, different economy than you, if you've invited those people into your space, there is a blessing. If you're invited to a banquet, take the last place. If you're invited to take the whole low place, take the humble position. If you throw a banquet, invite the last people. And why? Why is that important? He says, because at the great banquet, at the last and the least will not only be the guest of honor, but they're going to be the most populous group. Do you know that the gospel is good news to people who have been marginalized? You know why the global church is exploding in places like South America, Africa, the Middle East? You know why the global church is exploding in those areas because they are the poorest people on the planet. And someone has come to them and proclaimed to them that there is a God in heaven who actually has come for them, who has given his life as a ransom for them, that he has good news for them. And they are responding by the millions right now. The greatest revivals on the planet right now are happening in the poorest neighborhoods in the world. And it's been like that for 2,000 years. The poor are important to Jesus. The world says to use people. But Jesus gave us this revolutionary new idea. Jesus says, serve them. Don't just use them up for what they can give back to you. Don't just evaluate their worth based on what they can give back to your bottom line. Jesus says to serve people, and we serve for the joy of serving, not to gain anything. You know how radical this idea was? You know how radical Christianity, this changed the world. The reason we have orphanages, the reason we have nursing care facilities today, the reason that most hospitals exist today was based on the attitude and life and the way Jesus loved people for the sake of just loving them, serving them for the sake of just serving them. Now, I want to tell you something. The gospel goes out to everyone equally. It is God's will that rich, poor, and middle class all find the good news of God. That's true. Proverbs chapter 22 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord's the maker of them all. So if we're in the room today and you know that you've been blessed, it's not that God disregards you. Not that God loves you less. It's not that God has overlooked your prayers, not heard your prayers. But the point is there's something special in the heart of God toward poor people. Now listen to this, you may have never realized this before. Verse 5 in James says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world? In other words, God has made a choice to come to the poor. In fact, the very first words of the very first sermon given by Jesus. So think about this, if you were gonna pay attention to what's really important, what are the priorities of God? I would pay attention to the first words of the first sermon that Jesus ever gave. Now, this happened in Luke chapter 4. Jesus has been baptized in water. A voice from heaven says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he disappears out in the wilderness for 40 days, comes back and he says he's full of the Holy Spirit. 40 days in the wilderness being tried and tested by the enemy. And he comes out of that wilderness experience full of the Holy Spirit, full of God. And he ends up in a little small Jewish temple. And he opens the scroll. Now, he could have read from any place in the Torah. He could have read any of the Psalms. There's a multitude of prophecies in the book of Isaiah about him being the Messiah. He could have picked any of those out. He could have said, I am the root of David. I'm the root of Jesse. He could have said anything. But instead, he opens the scroll to one particular place in Isaiah 61, and the very first words of the very first sermon read like this. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. On this Pentecost Sunday, can we remember that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, you know what you're going to be compelled to do when the Holy Spirit really becomes transcendent in your life? He says, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Do you know what the priority of God is? To make sure that everyone hears. The priority of God is to make sure justice comes to every person, that every person has an equal opportunity to come forward to find the goodness and the grace of God. It is important to God that we recognize the essence of his nature in every human being. And the reason that we should be so disturbed by what happened to George Floyd is because his humanity was violated. The imago Dei of God, the essence of God, is found in every human being. Every single person, regardless of their economy, regardless of their politics, regardless of their skin color, we are all carriers of the imago Dei. The essence, the very nature of God has been engrafted into our humanity. And when we see that violated, it should cause us to stand up and raise our voice and call people to justice. The essence of God is found in human beings. The goodness of God is found in every human being. And when that gets violated, the people of God should be the first ones to stand up and says, enough, 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 no more. We can't let human beings get violated. We are pro-life from womb to the tomb. We are pro-life to white people, brown people, and black people. But why? Because the Lord is the giver of life. It's the Lord that puts his imprint on the human race. And when we see the humanity violated, it's God who's being violated. It's God who's being violated. I've been crying. I have so many of my black friends who just, their hearts are broken because they're not being heard. And you know how much I love our police. We've got a thousand pieces of armor to our police recently. We are serious about taking care of the men and women in blue. You know how much I love them, but we're also concerned around the country about justice being served in every way. Because, listen, Jesus came to hear the cries of the poor. Jesus came because he knew there would be a group of people that were crying out. Oftentimes, when you're around poor people, there's this desperation that comes out of them. And maybe it's been a while since you've been face to face with someone who's really poor. Maybe you've never been poor. I've been poor. I've been North Louisiana redneck poor. I know what poverty feels like. I know what it feels like to be marginalized because of the poverty. Now, I don't have the experience of being black. I don't have the experience of being a minority, and I would never assume that I know what that feels like, but I do know what poverty feels like. And I remember hearing this from my family, that we never know God is all we need until God is all we have. And you see, that's the essence of the cry of the poor. And this is why God comes near to those who are poor. This is why Jesus approaches the poor, because there is a desperation that comes out of poor people that is not found in people of wealth. Oftentimes, we count on our money before we count on God. And I'm telling you, poor people don't have that option. They don't have resources. Some of them don't have health care. There's a lot of food scarcity going on in our city right now. And a lot of it's happening in middle-class homes right here in Briargate. And if you need food today, I want to tell you, we have hundreds of bags of food. We'll give you food today. Do not walk out of this building today if you need food. We have food to give you. That's the power of the church. Why? Because we know that all of us, from time to time, are going to find ourselves in a position where we need help. And the church should be the place without shame and without embarrassment that you ask for help. In fact, it would give me great privilege to give away every single ounce of food I have today. If you know someone who needs food, go get them, bring them back, or take the food to them. Just go out there and tell them, I have a neighbor that needs food. Take the food to them. Empty our food pantry today, because we'll just refill it Monday and give it away again. Just please make sure that we hear the cries of the poor. What happens in these moments, there's a special bond that is formed in our worship and our prayers in moments of desperation. There's a special bond that happens. When you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death and you have no one else to cry out for help, there's a bond that happens in that moment. When you find yourself in absolute despair and darkness, there's this beautiful bond that happens with God in that moment. And I pray today that we always are sensitive to the brokenness around us, that we never grow cold, tired, immune, callous to the people who are desperate. I want to lead you in this moment now. I want to ask our worship team to come. We're going to end our service today singing a song that was written right before the pandemic went public, right before we knew of a COVID-19 pandemic. This song was birthed. And I have found myself singing this song to myself, over my children, my family. I have found myself 100 times singing it over you, inviting God's blessings back into our home. It's a song called The Blessing. And here's the way we're going to do this today. I want you to spend the first part of the song receiving the blessings of God into your life. I think there are some of you that you need to receive this morning the goodness of God, the blessings of God back into your life. You just need to lift your hands like this and just breathe in. But at some point in this song, I want you then to turn your eyes and your imagination and your prayers out back into the watching world. I want you to, you can't give away what you've not first received. So I want you to stand with me this morning and just turn your hands toward the Lord. If you're here today and you find yourself in a desperate place, maybe you found yourself working through some mental health today. Maybe you are, this is the first time you've been out of your house for a while and you are having to reemerge and you're having to reconfigure how to live life. I just want you to know that God is for you. God is with you. God is not abandoning you. God is right here with us. And every time we gather, can we be reminded that we're not alone? So when health officials were asking me, they were saying, Pastor Brady, why is it so important for you to gather? Why can't you just continue online? I said, because there's going to come a moment when the despair of isolation is going to be more dangerous than any pandemic. Because we need to be reminded that we're not alone, that we're not, we're here together. So I don't know about you, but it's been so good for my emotional health just to be in a room with you. Because it reminds me I'm not alone. We're together, we're with each other. I want you to just turn your hands. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, you're for us, you're with us, and we receive the blessings of the Lord this morning. And as we sing this song, not only are we going to receive the blessings of the Lord, but Lord, we're going to send these blessings out. We're going to pray this over our city, over the brokenness in our nation. We're going to pray this over the Floyd family in Minneapolis. We're going to pray this, Lord, over every person who has found themselves on the margins, pushed to the side. And we're going to welcome the goodness of the Lord into our lives. Let's just lift our hands and sing this together. The blessings of the Lord, in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
May it be so.
presence go before us.
Children and His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you. Morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in rejoicing, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you.
Every Monday, think of it as a reset. So tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we are going to reopen registrations for all the services. Now we're going to add 3 more gatherings next week. It'll be 6 services every week for you to pick from. So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I hate this phrase. You can laugh if you want, but the box office will open. I hate that. But the ticket prices are pretty good. You have to admit that's a pretty good ticket price. So if you don't know, it's zero, right? So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., so the weekly service schedule will be Tuesday night at 6:30, Thursday night at 6:30 with Pastor Andrew Arndt and the New Life Beast team. I'm going to lead the Tuesday night. John and I will lead the Tuesday night service. Thursday night is Pastor Andrew, New Life East team at 6:30. Friday night is our normal New Life Friday night with Pastor Daniel and the Friday night team. We take Saturday off because we needed a Sabbath. And then Sunday morning, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., like we had today. And then Sunday night at 6:30, Pastor Glenn Packiam and New Life Downtown, Pastor Jason Jackson, that team will lead New Life Sunday night, okay? but it all resets. If you show up on Tuesday night, it'll be a completely different sermon for the entire week. We're going to start over on Tuesday, okay, with 6 services. So pray for strength and endurance and all that. Thank you for having such a good attitude about the registration. I mean that. Thank you so much. I know it's inconvenient. I know it feels weird to have to register for church, but we're trying to make everything we're doing, every single decision, is to honor God and to love our neighbor. We're just trying to keep people healthy and well. I want you to know it's my motivation for every decision, honor God, love people. That's it. All right, so I hope you love that. Now, if you're online, we're gonna dismiss you. Thank you for joining us. Tune in next week, we'll see you. Thank you for joining us this week. For you in the room, stay steady, because we're gonna dismiss differently. Online, I love you. See you on Tuesday night.